illusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this on the line, Cal Grunwald, and we're going to be talking about what's going on economically in our country and throughout the world. Because remember, we no longer live in a sovereign country. We have become interdependent, not of our own making, but because there are globalists who hate America, who would do away with our sovereignty, who actually encourage the immigration of some 20 million illegal aliens, and that is the figure that we have from very reliable sources. And you saw the 500,000 of them demonstrating, certainly down in Southern California this last weekend, children at our schools over in Watsonville defying the police, leaving school to demonstrate for freedom with their Mexican flags, and they don't even understand what this is all about. They don't understand it's all an effort to divide America, that the illegal immigrants have been encouraged to come to America, many of them forced to because of NAFTA, which actually flooded their country with low-cost corn, American-subsidized corn, which put many of the workers there out of business, so they had no place to go but to come to America. And, of course, here in the United States, our government is very selective in which laws it will enforce. Martha Stewart, we're going to go after Martha Stewart. She's terrible. She got somebody told her her stock was going to go down, and she sold it, but it's all right for our major employers to hire illegal immigrants. If the major employers stopped hiring the illegal immigrants, we wouldn't have a problem. They'd all go home because there wouldn't be any jobs for them. But you don't understand. Our leaders have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is to the internationalist dream and to making us one nation with Mexico. That's what it's all about. And when you understand that at the highest levels of our government we have treasonous acts by the leaders of both political parties, you can begin to understand what's really going on. Well, of course, there are many, many things happening economically. And if you're watching what's happening in the Middle East and you say, well, who cares about the Middle East? But their stock markets there have literally collapsed, gone down almost a third in the last month and a half. They're even talking about the civil unrest in the Muslim countries because so many people have been borrowing money. After all, wouldn't it be wonderful to be fabulously rich if you just borrow money and invest in the stock market? Why, you can be fabulously rich. The only trouble is when the stock market turns down, their consequences. And the same thing is happening. A lot of our hedge funds, with a lot of this great American money we have been going over there and investing, and those stocks have been plummeting. And you're not reading about this. Most people don't know about it unless you're following things very closely. But people like Richard Russell, one of the great investors of our time, who started publishing the Dow Letter back in, I think, 1958, recently came out and said he's not going to be in stock market at all, because he is very worried about what's going on and about what's happening to our economy. Well, Cal, certainly we see gold and silver going up. What's your take on what's happening in America?
Well, again, it's a reflection on what's happening around the world. But again, as you are saying, the Americans don't know about these things unless they listen to alternative radio or some other means. So they're still asleep. And I'm afraid they will be until the very, very end.
Yeah, I think it's about time. They're going to get ready to fleece the sheep, and unfortunately, there's an awful lot of sleeping sheep out there. We're going to be back in just a moment with Cal, talking about what's really going on. Well, Cal, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, there's some really grim things going on in this country that portend some really bad things. You can see at the Federal Reserve level, the Federal Reserve, not chairman, but presidents of the different banks or branches have been leaving in the last couple of years at an alarming rate. Of course, this doesn't really hit the media at all because, who really cares and who wants to know that?
What you're suggesting is that the rodents are leaving the vessel before it goes down.
Yeah, the rats are jumping off the ship. So.
And these, of course, are the men who are really running our central bank. We have a privately owned central bank in the United States. It's Federal Reserve. It has nothing to do with the federal government. President appoints the head of the Federal Reserve, but he appoints who he's told to appoint, and they always come from the Council on Foreign Relations, dedicated globalists, and the last two, a certain name, Paul Volcker and Alan Greenspan, both belong to David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission before they became the chairman of the Fed. They're dedicated internationalists with no loyalty to America, but to this internationalist dream. And, of course, if they have to destroy our economy, so be it. But the important thing, of course, is to take us into this one top, eventually a cashless society, where everybody is impoverished, other than, of course, the ruling elite, who are going to rule the world. And there really are people out there who want to rule the world, who are dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of this nation. And they've certainly set us up, I believe, for very real problems economically, don't you, Cal?
Well, that's right, and that's one of the big reasons these Fed people are leaving, because they don't want to be in the middle of it when everything happens, and so they're just quietly leaving. And now the Fed has quit publishing the M3 money, which is not only money that's printed from the printing presses, but money that foreign entities hold, and now the government is just printing bales and bales and tons of paper cash, to compensate for foreign governments turning in or securities and bonds and T-bills and things like this. So the more money that's pumped into the global economy, the more dollars, of course, that means the dollar is going to fall, as it has been. Of course, they've been covering it up, but now we're getting ready to see an acceleration of the drop in the dollar.
And, of course, the one reason they've stopped promising the M3 is they don't want the average individual to know that they're massively expanding the amount of money that's available. We'll be back in just a moment with Cal. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. I might comment, we're putting together a syllabus for a talk we're going to be giving in about a week in Southern California. If you live in Southern California, you may want to come to hear us talking. We'll be at the Freedom Forum next Wednesday evening. That's a week from tomorrow. We'll be at the Granada Forum on Thursday. We'll be speaking at Yurok in Monrovia on Saturday. So if you're interested, you can always give us a call if you'd like to know anything more about how to get to those meetings. Our telephone number 1-800-544-8927. But we got one of the last lists with the M3 on it. And what's so fascinating, they're increasing the amount of money and this is not necessarily cash money. It's all the banking entries, because so much of this is not cash. It's simply banking entries. But it's well over $10 trillion, and they're increasing at about a rate of $0.5 trillion a year. People can't understand how much $1 trillion is, but these figures are just unimaginable for the average individual. So, but they're massively increasing this money, and they're massively increasing the debt, and all of these things doom eventually our monetary system, and they know what they're doing. I mean, these people are not stupid. They've intentionally created this tremendous overlying debt that can never be paid. And they've created all this money, and there's really nothing behind it other than confidence in the integrity of the people in Washington, D.C. And do you really think the people throughout the world really have a lot of confidence in the current administration? Well, Cal, certainly gold and silver have been going up very well here recently, haven't they?
Well, they have, and One commentator said an interesting statement about gold. He said, "Gold is not only a commodity, it is real money, and it is fear." Now, I had to read that a couple times, but then I finally caught it. It says, it's not only a commodity, gold is not only a commodity, it is real money, and it is fear. Now, that means that because people fear what's happening with not only the dollar, but economic chaos around the world, they buy gold because they're afraid. And that's the primary motivator in buying gold is fear. It's not the desire to get rich. It's just the desire to protect and survive with what you have. It's fear. And that's what's driving the gold price around the world. It's fear everywhere. Americans don't have it.
Well, I think that the people in other countries do because they know what happens when the value of the currency is destroyed and people are totally impoverished and they lose their entire life savings. And this can happen when you have irresponsible people leading the monetary situation. We have a fiat money system that only works as long as you have honest people in government guarding the value of the currency. And we do not have honest people in government, and they are not valuing, defending the value of the currency. In fact, they're keeping the stock market up artificially by the plunge protection team going in and buying stocks. Because if the market started to drop, it would create panic in America, and they can't let that happen until the specific time. And whether I don't know what it's going to be, but one of these days they're going to stop playing the games they are. The market's going to fall, and you're going to see panic in America, unparalleled, certainly in my lifetime. You can just see what they're doing. They're totally manipulating our reality. Well, certainly we've seen gold moving up, what was it, 560 or so, 565 now?
It's 569.50 today.
Silver finished at $10.92.
Silver was almost at $11. I mean, it's really a shock. That's going up proportionally a lot faster than gold. But, of course, this electronic funds trading is contributing a lot to that because now people can buy silver on the stock market.
Well, now, actually, they haven't actually established this exchange trading fund yet, have they? But it's been authorized. What's the background there?
Well, I don't know that many details, but now silver's gotten a real boost because people can, or they're going to be able to buy it and then, you know, store it in the banks. Well, that's just like having your valuables in the safety deposit box, because if they close the bank doors, you're all stuck anyway. So it's just another kind of game or a rouge.
Well, it may very well be, but of course what it's going to do, if they do establish the exchange trading fund, why, they're going to have to buy a lot of silver to back basically what it is for, ladies and gentlemen. It is this idea that there is this entity, and I think it's going to be Barclays Bank or one of the other big banks, that's going to have this fund, and of course it'll be as solid as the bank is. If the bank's solid, why, you're all right. If the bank isn't solid, you're in trouble. But supposedly you will buy silver and they will hold it for you. But as so often happens, you buy the silver and they may invest half the money in silver. But even if they only invest half of it in silver, there's a shortage of silver in the world today. And if they buy up, you know, 100, 150 million ounces, why, it's really going to put a squeeze on the silver price. Isn't that really what the fear is all about, Cal?
Yes, that's really true.
Well, certainly we've seen just this phenomenal rise in the price of silver. Have you seen an increased interest in silver among your clients?
Yes. They have that erroneous idea that silver is going to make them a lot of money, which I keep trying to dispel, because silver is very, very valuable for barter. You know, the dimes, quarters, and half dollars, which is called junk silver, 90%. I mean, that's what I recommend for barter. But you have to do that in moderation, because one bag is, you know, 55 pounds. So it's heavy, and it's got volume and weight, and you have to store it someplace. So you just can't go overboard. And as I probably mentioned before, I know I have on different shows, there are a lot of gold coin companies out there, or coin companies that are pushing this silver, and they sell people 6, 7, 10, 12 bags of this stuff. Well, where are you going to store it? You know, one well-known person who sells silver sold this one couple in California 7,500 silver eagles. Well, that weighs 450 pounds. And it's crazy, because, you know, what are you going to do with it? So it's very impractical. But if you think about the practical side of junk silver, or 90% silver, then you should have enough to last you 2 or 3 years in barter situations. It has to have a practical use. It can't be just, you know, getting dollar signs in somebody's eyes, because when the dollar collapses and silver gets to $50, $75, $100 an ounce, who are you going to sell it to? Are you going to be stuck with this huge mound in your living room and it's going to be in the way. And, you know, if you ever have to take off, you can't take it with you. You're going to need a, you know, a huge pickup, and it just doesn't work.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, are there still plenty of silver bags out there that are available for people to buy? These are the 90% silver.
Yes, there are plenty of bags out there. Silver, you know, gold is what's really in severe shortage now because of a number of reasons. Worldwide production of gold is the lowest it's been since 1931, while worldwide demand is the greatest it's ever been in history. And you've got huge buyers, China, India, you know, the Japan, Russia, they're all buying gold, a lot of it, and they're not selling it. Even the central banks now, they played this game before Y2K. You know, this central bank was supposedly going to sell 100 tons of gold or 200 tons of gold. And actually, I was in the middle of all that, you know, working for a gold coin company at the time. And of the eight countries, there are central banks that supposedly were going to sell gold. Only two of them actually did. So it was just a big bunch of lies and propaganda to persuade people to not buy gold when they heard, wow, the central bank's selling it. And at the same time, of course, the central bankers were, you know, depressing the price of gold. When I first got a job in 1997 working for that gold coin company in Minneapolis, gold was $352 an ounce. And, of course, then we hit Y2K, which proved to be not much, but the point is there was a lot of fear and concern worldwide about what was going to happen to the computers in the year 2000. Well, in the middle of all that, the bankers depreciated gold, the price of gold, to $100 an ounce. So in August of 1999, gold hit $252 an ounce. And in the middle of all this, they created all these pseudo sales by central banks of all this gold, which 80% of them didn't happen. It was just all a big psychological ruse to keep people away from gold. But the gold demand was in 1998-99, Americans bought more gold than they did the previous 10 years in that 2-year period of time.
That was leading up to Y2K then.
Yeah, it was leading up to Y2K, and the price of coins just went through the roof. Although gold bullion was hovered around 260, 270 for most of that time because it was heavily, heavily manipulated by the bankers. Because they didn't want another 1980 to happen when we got into double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates. Gold went from $325 an ounce to $850 an ounce in 4 months. Silver hit $53 an ounce. Of course, the Hunt brothers got involved. But it all contributed, so the bankers they were scared to death that, you know, gold would do that again. So they just pulled out all the stops. You know, they did all their sleight of hand, and they managed to, you know, get the price of gold way down to $252.
No, I think it's very interesting. I'm putting together this syllabus, and so I've been going on to the Internet. I got something from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and they commented that the Federal Reserve Bank of New York holds a 600... million, pardon me, 600 billion ounces of gold. Pardon me, 600 million ounces of gold at something like $330 an ounce. And that is a quarter of all the gold that there is in the world. And basically, they have it in their bank. It belongs to all the countries of the world. If you have a central bank in England, your gold is stored at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City. If you in France, that's where it's sold. That's where it's stored because it's safe there. And then, of course, France wants to sell to somebody else. Why, they simply move it from one pile to the other. It's all sleight of hand. But the central banks are hanging on to their gold. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. Cal, go ahead, pick up the story from there.
Well, another interesting thing, of course, you know, I've been on top of this for 9 years now because I've been in the business, but it's very, very interesting in that, and I explain this to people, have a hard time, because it's all a psychology game, people have a hard time understanding, well, why should I buy gold when it's going down? Well, that's the whole point of it. That's why they're doing it. Of course, now it's going up because of worldwide demand, but, you know, again, it's just a psychology game. Now, during the time from 1997 to 1999, when gold was going from 352 an ounce to 252 an ounce, collectively, the central bankers devalued their own gold holdings by $120 billion. Now, that seems rather drastic. You know, why take your wealth and devalue it by $120 billion collectively among all the central banks around the world? Well, the point is, they didn't care because they didn't sell it. There was a game to them, and everybody else was watching, not knowing what was going on, thinking gold is worthless now, so why even buy it? So they kept the public out of gold and the world out of gold, you know, with their sleight of hand game. But they didn't care because it was just a paper loss. They didn't sell it, so it wasn't a loss.
No, it was,
now,
go ahead.
So now, you know, look where gold is. It's up 120% over what it was in 1999. And this is just the beginning. People ask me, "Oh, this, I've heard rumors. Well, this is just gold's at the top now, and it's not going any higher." Well, that's another big fabrication lie. This is just the beginning of the rise in gold.
And it's really
the same thing with silver.
It's really very interesting. I was just checking that figure. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York holds $600 billion worth of gold valued at $330 an ounce, which is $301 an ounce, which would be an equivalent of about $1 trillion of gold. That's one quarter of all the gold in the world. And this is according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. So there is about $4 trillion worth of money of gold in the entire world. But the central banks are keeping their gold. Why? Because they want something to back their currency when this whole thing implodes. And most people, of course, will be wiped out financially. But the central bankers are going to protect their position. They just don't want the average individual to protect theirs. In fact, it's very interesting. America, the United States, supposedly, has $11 billion worth of gold. But it's valued at $40 an ounce. And if you actually, you know, analyze that, where we've gotten well over $100 billion worth of gold that is sitting, I don't know whether it's in New York or whether it's at Fort Knox, but certainly we are maintaining our gold because out of the ashes of what's going to come, out of the implosion of our monetary system, the central bank of the United States wants to have something to begin to rebuild on after everybody has been wiped out, and they want to be able to maintain their control over the economy. And, of course, if you control the money, you control the people. So I think that obviously they value gold, and all of the central banks are maintaining their gold, and they have, in New York City, one quarter of all the gold in the world, according to the New York Federal Reserve Bank branch of the bank.
Well, it's interesting because I know you're right, and you're probably doubly right, because the figures that they reveal are if they're like any every other government figure, they're about...
Hold that thought right there, Cal. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. We're talking about what's going on in the world. I commented that the figure is that the Federal Reserve Bank of New York has one quarter of the gold in the entire world. Now, it's not all theirs. It's from all the other central banks of Europe and many other countries. And the bank is actually stored in a sub-basement there. Why? Because we probably have had, at least in the past, more stability in the United States than any other country. The gold is $600 billion worth of gold, valued at $301 an ounce. With the current prices, you're talking over $1 trillion worth of gold stored in the basement of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City. Now, of course, when the Central Bank of Germany sells gold, they simply put on a pallet and they move from their pile over maybe to the French government or to the American government. The United States has $11 billion worth of gold valued at $40 an ounce. Why do they value it at that? Simply to confuse people. In reality, we have well over $100 billion worth of gold behind our currency. So they understand the value of gold. They just don't want the average individual to. After all, if you're going to fleece the sheep, you can't let them know what's going to happen. So anyway, of course, now you're getting a more interest in gold more recently as the price is going up, Cal.
Oh, yes, definitely. People are, a lot of people, of course, they listen to radio programs like yours. They are understanding what's happening now, and they are doing something about it. Most people are doing something about it. Anybody that has any discretionary money is saying to themselves, it's about time that I do something because I don't know how long this is going to go on. Now, the thing that's most concerning to me, and of course you're absolutely right about that gold, there's actually 6 or 7 stories underneath the Federal Reserve for gold storage. 6 or 7 stories. So, you know, it's all down there in shelves and pallets and vaults and everything else, and you're right, they just move it around. That's all they do when somebody buys or sells. But what's really concerning to me more than anything is I read a short article, as I probably mentioned before, in the Wall Street Journal about Bush is planning a preemptive strike in Iran. And the Muslim world is already, you know, fairly united, you know, because of what we've done in Iraq, you know, killing all those thousands of innocent people. Just in the name of...
Well, it was a mistake. The president said it was just he just got faulty insurance, but he wants to assure you that despite the fact we've killed all the people, it was a good thing that we went in there so we could bring them peace and prosperity and democracy. And of course, the head of Iraq says we got a civil war going, but George Bush said that isn't true at all. We don't have a civil war going over there at all. Now, things are getting better all the time. And he's going to keep our troops there until 2009 and let the fellow who replaces them, or woman who replaces them, figure out what they're going to do with the terrible mess we've created in Iraq. But you're absolutely right, Cal. Everything points to the fact that we're planning on a preemptive nuclear strike, or Israel is planning on a preemptive nuclear strike on Iran, which will inflame the entire Islamic world against us. And if they unite economically against us, and they stop using our currency as the reserve currency of the world, America and our whole economic system will come crumbling down. We are the greatest military force in the world, but we're the greatest debtor nation in the world, and we have to actually borrow over $2.5 billion every day just to keep the everything going and to pay our bills.
Well, see, what's really happened, once the Muslim world unites, if we go into Iran, that will start World War III. I mean, it's not just the Muslims that are incensed, it's the rest of the world. You've got France and Germany for the last year and a half to 2 years since we've been in Iraq. They are building up armaments to come against us, and they don't have the strength, you know, with those two nations, obviously, but you've got Russia and China waiting in the wings to join them, and there is the strength there, and that's going to be the end of the big boy once they all unite. Once they get to that strength, they'll come against us. We'll see, you know, airplanes, enemy airplanes over this country, and we're going to be in the middle of it. That's what I fear the most. And of course, you know, what happens to gold in that period of time is going to be kind of irrelevant. It's going to go through the roof.
Well, because I think the most interesting and most frightening thing I've heard, and I checked this out with Bob Chapman, who's a frequent guest of ours, and he was in military intelligence. He has connections at Washington. And he claims that the Israelis, of course, they have 3 or 4 or 5 submarines, and they are armed with cruise missiles. He claims that they stopped at the Diego Garcia recently, which is a U.S. base in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and those cruise missiles were armed with American nuclear warheads. Is that true? Well, all we can wait and see. But Israel is planning on a preemptive strike on Iran. And, of course, if they are, why we'll somehow be involved. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, you have a question for Cal, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and would be glad to hear from you. And Cal, you know, now then you're saying that people really are then beginning to become more interested in precious metals now that the prices begin to rise?
Absolutely. not necessarily the price that's attracting people. It's the concern for everything around us and around the world. You've got the Iran threat, which is very, very real. You've got the falling dollar. Now this Iran oil borscht, I guess, I don't know how you pronounce the word, that was supposed to take place on March 20th.
It didn't, apparently. Apparently it's been postponed temporarily.
This is another psychological sleight of hand, because, as I mentioned before, every country in the world has rejected our dollar. For the last year and a half, the Hong Kong, Singapore markets have been operating in euros only. They won't take our dollar. So this is just another ploy by the government, another big lie. What they're doing is they're preparing the American public for a severe drop in the dollar. They're saying, well, if Iran's going to do it first, then other countries will follow. And if that happens, of course, then our dollar is really going to be affected, and we could all be really hurt. But this has been going on. This has been going on for over a year everywhere, even Mexico, France, India. They've all rejected our dollar, and they're demanding euros in payment for goods that they send to us. So this has been going on for a long time. So now it's finally getting into the major media, and when it finally gets into the major media, it's been happening a long time.
Well, I'm very, very concerned about certainly the stability of the dollar, which is beginning to drop a little bit. But you have to realize that China is beginning to buy gold, India is beginning to buy gold, Russia, Argentina. Many of these countries, of course, want financial stability because they see the difficult times coming. Well, let's go to Bill, who's calling us from Florida there. Hi, Bill. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, not doing too bad, Dr. Stan.
You have a question? Have a question for Cal.
Yeah, I had two. I'll ask one and then wait for the answer and then ask the other. Wanted to know what Cal thought about what he thinks gold might do after April 15th, after all of these people have been putting gold into their IRAs and funds have been buying.
Oh, I hold that thought, right? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald, and we've simply been talking about really the instability of the dollar. We are the greatest debtor nation in the world. We have debts, by the government's own figures, of well over $40 trillion. And, of course, if you see how that's been accumulated, between 2001 and 2006, we've gone from, this is the overall debt, not only of government, but all of the increments that they measure, from $28 trillion to $40 trillion. And it's much higher than that. This is, I think, December or September of last year's figures. So, I mean, we're probably up to $41 or $42 trillion. Massive debt, the greatest debt that's ever been known, and this is really going to have terrible complications because there isn't enough money to pay off all the debts. And it's like playing musical chairs. You play musical chairs, you have 100 people playing musical chairs, and you got 5 chairs, and of course when the music stops, you got 95 people standing there, they've all got debts, and there's no chairs to sit in. Well, I'm right now with Cal Grunwald. Cal, would you like to get your telephone number and your website out so people can know how to get in touch with you and get that information you offer?
Yes, and then I will answer Bill's question. My phone number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. And I have a website now, which is silverexchange.info.
Gold and silverexchange.info, and what will people find if they get there?
Well, it's a pretty simple website, pretty straightforward, because it's an informational website. Of course, I also do sell gold and silver coins, but I'm giving away my paper and some other documents that are very, very interesting and pertinent, especially now. I've got a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry, and I'm really the only one out there, kind of pointing out what you know, what's in front of people when they try to think about buying gold and silver. There's unfortunately a lot of scam artists and charlatans in the coin industry because it's unregulated. It's like buyer beware.
Amen to that. Well, I should, of course, comment that Cal does help support Radio Liberty, and we've got Bill on the line from Florida. Incidentally, if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Bill, would you like to state your first question once again?
Yes, I was wondering if Cal thinks that after April 15th, when people get done buying gold for their IRAs, that the price might dip a little bit.
What do you think, Cal? Do you think the price might come down after April 15th?
No, I don't think so. I think there's so few people doing that I don't think it's going to affect the price of gold at all.
And really, if you've been watching the price of gold recently, Cal, it's really been moving up very, very strongly, as has the price of silver. And I think part of this reflects the fact that people believe that the value of the dollar is going to go down. Now, it should go up when, of course, we are, simply raising our interest rates. Ordinarily, the value of the currency goes up under those circumstances. But everybody in the world realizes that we have totally irresponsible people who have been running our Federal Reserve System, who have let America become the greatest debtor nation that the world has ever seen, with a totally fiat money system, an overwhelming weight of debt, and of course nothing at all behind our currency, other than the integrity of the President of the United States and the men who surround him. So, what was your second question, Bill?
As far as the dollar goes, you said the U.S. had valued their gold at $40 an ounce.
Right.
You think there might be some method to their madness?
Of course, they're trying to confuse people. They do not want the American people to know that the central bankers, the men who control our banking system, the rodents who are leaving the vessel now as rapidly as they can, they understand that you have to have something behind your currency. This has been true throughout the last 5,000 years, and every time you've had a fiat currency system like ours, it has always collapsed. So they understand that out of the ashes it's going to come about, and out of the chaos, they're going to have gold so that they can rebuild a currency system for themselves, but certainly not for us, because I think they'd like to take us into a cashless society.
Do you think it's possible that they're valuing it $40 so that when the dollar does crash, that they can tell all Americans that own gold that it's only worth $40?
Who knows what they're up to, but that's an interesting thought. No, I think that they just don't want us to realize that they actually have well over $100 billion of gold in the central bank. In the same way that the Federal Reserve Bank of New York holds $600 billion of gold, but they value it at $301 an ounce. Why would you do that when today it'll cost you, $569 to buy an ounce of gold? So they're playing games with our minds. Everything is perception, Bill. And if they can keep us confused, we can't see effectively what's going on. It's like the sleight of hand artist, and he keeps one hand moving very rapidly, and that's the one you're watching. It's the other hand, the one that doesn't seem to be doing anything, because that's where the real action is.
Okay.
Anything else, Bill?
Thank you very much.
God bless. And okay, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to Cal. I think that we are entering the most difficult and most dangerous times financially in our nation's history. We have never been in a situation like this. At least always in the past, the people in charge of the Federal Reserve System have done what was right to protect the value of the currency. And under the Greenspan administration, they did everything wrong. And they knew exactly what they were doing. And those of you who have never read Alan Greenspan's classic essay, Gold and Economic Freedom, need to get it and read it and understand he knows what he should have done, and he refused to do it. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, Cal, certainly now, of course, with the price of gold and silver going up, what else should people be doing to protect themselves, in your estimation?
Well, I think it's very important to And I do not ever hype anything. I'm very kind of laid back. I look at things kind of objectively. And I'm just really stressing to people I've got kind of an urgency that something might happen, you know, fairly soon that would cause the government to close the bank doors. And I just don't want to see people get caught flat-footed. And of course, that's what happened in Argentina when they shut the doors. People just couldn't get their wealth. And no matter how hard they tried or how many lawyers they had along their side, the banks wouldn't open their doors to them. So I'm just trying to stress to people and encourage them to, if they have any discretionary money at all out there, whether it's in the bank or the stock market or in insurance companies, annuities, you know, convert it into something tangible. You know, buy a year or two's worth of food and get some extra clothes, medical supplies. I always say that first, and then you have your cash cushion there, whatever you feel comfortable with, and then the rest of it that you don't want to lose, turn it into gold and silver. So people should be sitting at this time in history with all the risks that are out there and all the things that could happen suddenly. People should be sitting on the sidelines with their wealth and realizing that what they have as far as numbers are concerned out there is only worth less than half as far as the purchasing power as it was 3.5 years ago. So they've already lost half of it just by looking at it, you know, behind, you know, somebody else's door. So convert it into something tangible and watch the value of it go up. That's not the point. But if you put it into food, food's going to be, you know, more valuable than almost gold in the days ahead when there is no food. So put your money into something tangible and you'll feel very secure sitting on the sidelines out of the system. You got to get out of the system as much as possible.
All right, fine. Well, and we lost Don, who was calling us from Texas. So let's go to Don, who's calling from Sturgeon Lake, Minnesota. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Is a little cold up there?
In answer to your question, there is no sturgeon in Sturgeon Lake that I know of.
All right, fine.
No, my comment is this. I was involved, you were talking earlier about the gold market back in 1980, 81, so forth. I invested $40,000 in on leverage at that time, which was the dumbest thing that I've ever done in my entire life.
We all get older and smarter.
Well, we do.
We all get older.
With the possible exception of bureaucrats and politicians and Democrats.
Right.
But having said that, with the gold market manipulated as it is by the powers that be, and I'm talking about the bankers, the international bankers, and I'm not going to go into all that story. But I mean, with the, you were talking about $40 an ounce gold. That's ridiculous. But I mean,
that is what the official statement of the government is today.
Yeah. Well, you see, the problem is that no nation in history that has ever gone off the gold standard has failed to print themselves out of business.
Right.
That's what happens invariably. And how hard is that to understand for the average bumpkin out there? I mean, are we all brain dead, or are we all dumbed down to the point where we can't even think for ourselves anymore, for gosh sakes?
Well, what's the point? And I agree with you. I think
the point is this. With the market manipulated, how can the average person become involved in it, buying gold and silver, and hope to make any sense out of or how to gauge what that market's going to do?
All right, fine. Now, how would you respond to that, Cal?
Well, again, it's like that's a very good comment. You know, it is so manipulated. It's just deceit is multiplying in the last days. And so it's getting even harder and harder, if not impossible, to figure out the truth about anything. So all you need to do is, you kind of have to trust your gut feeling and your intuition, and that'll teach you more than anything.
Well, Don, what do you think people ought to do?
Well, I would very much, in fact, I'm going to call, is your guest name Cal?
Cal Grunfeld, yes. Right.
Yeah, Cal, I'm in Minnesota. Are you in Minnesota?
My hometown is Red Wing, Minnesota.
Down there where they used to make clay pots.
Yeah, that's
pottery.
Right. And my dad,
do they still do
my
that, or is that made in Taiwan now? No, aren't the clay pots?
Yeah, that pottery went out of business, about 40 years ago.
Yeah, or they did work out that long ago.
Yeah.
But no, I will be talking to you about this because I want to try to get invested here a little bit. But Okay, what are we at now? 565 or something like that?
569
today. 569.50 today.
Okay, 569.50. What is your... I don't know, your crystal ball is probably a little bit cloudy, but can you just, for myself and anyone else who might be interested out there, Cal, give me a ballpark? Where do you think this thing can go? And can the government do anything to stop it?
Well, the government is. I mean, if the government weren't... If the central banks and the government weren't manipulating gold right now, it would
be about four grand,
wouldn't it? It would be lockstep with platinum, which is over $1,000 an ounce.
Right.
And very interesting observation. When I first got into the gold coin business, and I've said this before, but when I first got into the gold coin business, gold was $3.52 an ounce, and platinum was $3.67. They were within $15 of each other for about a year. And then all of a sudden, as the bankers started manipulating gold downward in the middle of 98, gold started going down, and platinum, because it's an industrial metal, they just let it go. They didn't care. It started going up, and it's been doing that ever since. So now, platinum's well over 1,000. Gold, because of the demand, the demand for gold is far, far more severe than it is for platinum, because platinum is an industrial metal. There's only so many uses for it. The gold is in severe demand. Gold should be well over $2,000 an ounce right now.
I think that if we were simply an isolated country, the central bank of the United States could do whatever they want to with gold. But there are people out there who are bucking the economic system here. I'm talking about China. I'm talking about India. I'm talking about Argentina. And all of these countries are buying gold, so they're creating an artificial shortage. Our bankers cannot control things as effectively as they have in the past. But if I could offer you just one piece of advice, diversify. Don't get into any one thing. Cover all the bases that you can, and understand that you're not trying to get wealthy. You're just trying to preserve some of your wealth. And I think the tragedy is that the people who do not make any preparations are going to be totally wiped out.
And I think the comment that Cal made, if I could echo that one just a little bit, there are charlatans out there that are preying on the consumer or the potential gold investor. They're out there en masse, and we really have to be careful who we're dealing with.
You've got to be absolutely right, because there's blood in the water and the sharks are circling.
You betcha. But Cal, I'll be talking to you.
All right, God bless.
I'm looking forward to your call.
Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
You bet, bye.
And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, why, I think that you really need to begin to study what's going on. We have a little pamphlet we call The History of Money. And, of course, it's simply a number of my newsletters going into the background of the theory of money and how we got into the mess we are today. But you can't understand this unless you understand that every chairman of the Federal Reserve System comes from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the last two chairmen of the Federal Reserve System, Paul Volcker and Alan Greenspan, came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission, a private little secret elite club set up by David Rockefeller, who's really the wealthiest man in America. And if you honestly believe that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are the two wealthiest men in America, you've been reading Time magazine for too long. You really understand where the power structure of this country is. And, of course, if you look at the logo of the Trilateral Commission, which David Rockefeller established in 1973, it's three sixes. Six, six, six. What does that suggest to you? Maybe there's a spiritual component to everything going on, and I really hope that maybe you'll begin looking into this and understand there's a spiritual component to everything going on in America today. And, Cal, do you think that there's a place for people to be invested in gold and silver stocks as well as in gold and silver?
No, I don't recommend that, because even though you can buy gold stocks, and if you get the right company, you're going to do very well, because gold stocks are still another kind of stock. It's a number, it's a piece of paper with a number on it. So in these days, especially with these situations surrounding us, you need to have physical metal in your hand. Don't ever store it anyplace. Don't have a company send it to a bank in New York or Houston or Delaware because it's you'll never see it.
All right, fine. Let's get your telephone number one more time.
It's 414-234-8267.
One more time.
Yeah, 414-234-8267.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much. Our guest is Aven Cal Grunwald, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes to wrap up the program here. You hang right on there, Cal. We'll be with you in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. And, Cal, you got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, again, I just want to emphasize that the days are getting short. You can almost, again, not to be spiritual, but you can just feel it in the air. You know, you can, the people who are, the people who know the truth about what's really going on, it's almost a tangible now. You know, there's so much economic chaos, you know, with the dollar coming down, all the deceit that's going on, you know, there's just hardly any way to figure out what's really happening out there. But inside, the people who know, they know that something is about to happen. Whether it's next week or 6 months from now or a year, it's not that far away.
And I think you're absolutely right. In fact, it's so interesting, the fact that within the last month, why the Icelandic currency lost 18% of its value, because of course the alter the carry trade, and one day we'll talk a little bit about what the carry trade is. But you know, here's a major country; they're losing 18% of the value of their currency within a matter of a few weeks. Not a word of it in the American media. The last thing they want is for the American people to become concerned about what's really going on. That is until it's too late. So anyway, of course, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, again, I would encourage anybody that wants to talk to me, that one gentleman did. I just really enjoy talking to people in a very low-key way, just to discuss, you know, your financial situation or any situation that you want to. No obligation, I'm not high pressure, I don't believe in that. I used to be a teacher, so I do everything for education, but I really like to send anybody my information package that wants it, my paper on gold and silver and the scams in the coin industry. I've got very interesting articles on the Fort Knox gold that aren't there. Some articles out of the 1933 New York Times and Roosevelt confiscated gold. And by the way, one of the things he did is when he declared that two-day banking holiday, they opened all the safety deposit boxes. So don't be naive by having, you know, anything valuable in a bank. Again, I'd like to give my number is 414-234-8267. Or my website is www.goldandsilverexchange.info. You can get a lot of information, you know, about me and about the services I provide and highlights of the paper there. And you can even sign up for my paper, you know, on my website and get it that way.
So, all right, Divine, one more time, the website
is www.goldand, right out the word and, silverexchange.info.
All right, fine. We're out of time, Cal, but thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you again with us next month. Bye-bye.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we really depend on those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day by radio, by Internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave. And incidentally, of course, our shortwave frequencies will change again next week, and hopefully they'll be there for a good long while. So if you're listening on shortwave tonight, let me simply tell you that as of next Monday, our afternoon frequency goes to 9.840, and our evening frequencies will be 5.860 and 7.520. That's 5.860 and 7.520 for the evening program. The afternoon program's 9.840, and please get the word out as best you can. And then, of course, we want to mention we do have a pamphlet we put together entitled The History of Money. And we have a talk we've given in the past called The Coming Financial Crisis. We'll be giving a talk this next weekend called Financial Tsunami. And, of course, it will be an entirely different topic, talk in many respects, trying to tell you what you should be doing, and that hopefully will be available on video and with a syllabus that will give you some idea of what this is really all about. Because nothing is as it appears to be. And once you understand that, everything begins to make sense. And we have to ask why people like Paul Volcker and Alan Greenspan, who are very, very brilliant people, would have done everything wrong and have set off an inflationary spiral starting back in the early 1980s, an inflationary spiral, and then a stock market bubble and a housing bubble that threatens to destroy the very financial stability of this nation. Well, of course, we do carry that wonderful book. It's called The Creature from Jekyll Island, Professor Sutton's excellent book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and then, of course, the book entitled Fiat Money, Inflation in France. And if you read those books along with my pamphlet on the history of money and watch my video, The Coming Financial Crisis, you'll have a pretty good concept of exactly what's going on today. And we recommend that you get the information and then you begin making preparations to protect yourself and your family from the difficult times that lie ahead. But I point out that there is a spiritual component to everything going on. And I would simply point out that the people who have been controlling our economic system, the Federal Reserve Board, come from the Trilateral Commission. And if you'd like to see a picture of their logo, you can go up on the Internet, type in Trilateral Commission, and you'll see it there. It's 3 sixes. You have to look very carefully because they always hide these things in plain sight. They understand the significance of 666. It's like the World Futures Society. Their emblem was a circle with 3 sixes in it. When we began talking about it, they changed the logo because the last thing they want is for the American people to understand the spiritual nature of the forces that are aligned against freedom and the American people. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival because, after all, if we don't have revival in America, we're going to lose this country. And then we ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so until, well, we're together again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this on the line. Andrew Skousen, and he, of course, is one of the major sources of information for World Affairs Brief. And the first thing I do every morning after I get through going through my emails is to go to World Affairs Brief to get an overview of what's going on in the world. And Andrew and his dad, Joel, and other people associated with their family are keep this up. This website has fascinating information on it, has summaries of a lot of articles, and then if you like the articles, well, you can just punch them in and you can pull them down. Andrew, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell me, what do you think the major issues are that right now that we should be concerned about?
Well, I think that some of the major issues have to do with the steps that President Bush is taking as a globalist, particularly what's going on with military bases around the world, as well as the overall strategy in Iraq. I think that there's a great deal happening around the world, but it's important to keep track of what the overall globalist strategy is, and hopefully I can point that out a little bit tonight.
All right, fine. Well, I think for our listeners, you have to understand you cannot be a globalist and be an American. You can be a globalist, believe in world government, want, of course, to transfer our wealth and to the other rest of the world and build up their living standards and help people throughout the world. But you can't be an American and want to destroy our national sovereignty. And the people who are globalists want to destroy our national sovereignty. That's why they refuse to close our borders, to enforce our laws, why they want to merge the United States with Mexico, why they want us to be a multicultural, multilingual society, why they have objected to any efforts to have English the official language of this country, because they hate American sovereignty. And when you understand that, so much makes sense. That's why we have 100 military bases in 130 nations throughout the world. That's why we're really in Iraq. It has nothing to do with oil. After all, you know, every time they blow up another pipeline over there in Iraq, why the price of oil goes up. The oil companies this last year made $100 billion in profits. Back in 2002, before we invaded Iraq, their profits for the year were only about $25 billion. So the oil companies have made tremendous profits, not from getting the oil, but from taking the oil off the world market. That's what it's really about. But of course, the oil companies are dedicated to these same globalist concepts. You pick up the story there, Andrew.
Well, I think that's a very good idea to start out with here, which is control of oil. Here at the World Affairs Brief, we try to track what the agenda is behind the globalist positioning and why it is that they go about and make the moves that they do. And we think that it's two-pronged, one to control oil and the other to advance the cause of world government.
And I think that's an excellent analysis. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think we can get into it here, maybe right after the break, perhaps.
All right, right after the break, we'll get onto this. And of course, it's so important that our listeners understand that the leaders of both political parties have no loyalty to America. They do not believe in American sovereignty. That's what the World Trade Organization, NAFTA, CAFTA, GATT, that's what they're all about, destroying national sovereignty and creating a one-world government. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Andrew Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Andrew, pick up the story there.
All right. Well, we were talking about the overall global strategy of the powers that be behind the scenes to provoke conflict and to gain eventual control over the entire world as a whole. Here at the World Affairs Brief, we've been trying to track this for years now, and we think that that currently the two major goals of the globalist cadre is, one, to control oil, and the purpose of this is both to induce price increases and also to be able to control the supply during coming wars. The second is sort of a little bit more subtle, and it is to provoke antagonism and eventual retaliation against the United States.
Now, what you're really talking about is antagonizing the entire Muslim world so that they will strike back against it.
It's true, and yet not more than that. It's to antagonize the Muslims, but also to create as poor of an image as possible with the rest of the world, so that when the major superpowers eventually do retaliate against the United States, most of the world will feel grateful about it happening. I think that if you kind of look at the way things are now, people still enjoy Western culture, still enjoy the idea of prosperity, and the lure of America as the city on the hill is still fairly bright with most countries. And yet, more and more that is waning. We see that in South America now, where more and more people are hostile towards the United States. You look at Venezuela right now, which of course is being inflamed by Hugo Chavez and all of his rantings against the Great Satan, which is the U.S. But of course, most specifically among the Muslim world, which are being directly involved with this conflagration of in Iraq and Afghanistan and all of the wars that we have been instigating there and continuing with, and more than that we are not resolving. And I think that is a purpose to
hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan, and that was saying that it's a part of the reason we do what we do is to control the oil of the world, but a part of this also has to do with antagonizing not only the Muslim world, but the rest of the countries of the world, so that, you know, when the war does come, and the war is coming, there's no question that many of the other countries of the world will really applaud it, because they want somebody to take out the big bully that's telling everybody else how to run their countries, and of course, Andrew mentions Venezuela, what's happening there with Hugo Chavez. He was overwhelmingly elected with the support of the little guy, the poor people there, because America was working with the wealthy people there and working to keep the people, poor people, impoverished. The reason that Morales won in Bolivia certainly is for exactly the same reason that we have been, of course, doing everything we could to impoverish the people there, and they're revolting. In fact, all of South America is going to the radical left because of the policies of the American government supporting authoritarian governments. And if you haven't read the book by John Perkins, and I know that Andrew Skelton's dad doesn't necessarily agree with John Perkins, but there's a lot of great information in the book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. We have my four-tape set, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And, of course, you can read that along with the writings of Dr. Joseph Stiglitz, who's a Nobel Prize-winning economist. You'll realize that American policy is impoverishing people throughout the world. So pick up the story from there, Andrew.
It's true. American policy is impoverishing people, and part of that is the way that we go about undermining and reinforcing certain global forms of government out there. I think that if you look at what the State Department has done in the past 60, 70 the years, it has always been to undermine true lovers of freedom, and always in one way or another always supported closet socialists or outward socialists, and sometimes even communists, and consequently their forms of government lead towards more and more poverty among people. And yet the question still remains with most people about, well, what is the overall purpose here, and trying to track what's going on with each of these moves that the U.S. takes is fairly difficult to catch on to. But I think if we examine the evidence, things start to come out of the woodwork after time. Take, for instance, the information that we have about the closing and opening of major U.S. bases around the world. I think this is a big story in this week's brief. We talk about the changes that are going on. Recently, there's been a great deal of talk among various U.S. communities about the economic losses that are incurred because of military downsizing here in the U.S. Of some of the big military bases here.
Well, because we're building big military bases all throughout the rest of the world. We're putting in a number of major big military bases in Iraq and Dubai and all throughout the Middle East. And the average American has no idea what we're doing. They don't know we have troops stationed in between 130 and 140 nations throughout the world. Why do we have so many troops stationed throughout the world if all we're really doing is trying to protect America?
Precisely. And just recently, there's been a suggestion to expand the bases that have been in place in Europe eastward, and to establish possibly four or five Bulgarian military facilities for use by U.S. forces. And even more recently, the U.S. has announced plans for new bases in Romania.
Now, why would we be putting military bases in Romania and in Bulgaria? I thought that the Cold War was over. If we've won the Cold War, communism is no longer a threat. Why are we occupying, and when you have military bases, you are occupying that country. Why are we building going to occupy Bulgaria and Romania?
Precisely. We have recently acquired 14 new bases in Eastern Europe, some of which are in Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, the Persian Gulf, and Pakistan, and yet now we are expanding into the former Soviet bloc nations, especially Bulgaria and Romania. Why would the U.S. be, trying to advance its sphere of military influence in these areas if the Soviet Union has truly collapsed? And moreover, why aren't we establishing these bases with NATO troops instead of with U.S. troops?
And why do we still have American troops stationed in Germany 60 years after the Second World War ended? Why do we still have troops stationed in Japan 60 years after the Second World War ended? Why do we still have troops stationed in Korea 50 years after the Second World War ended? And until recently, we were giving all sorts of humanitarian aid to North Korea to keep the North Korean enemy in power. It doesn't make sense, but so much of what goes on really doesn't make any sense unless you understand the globalist agenda.
That's right. And I think the best way to see what the globalist agenda is not to listen to what our own government people tell us are the purposes there, but to watch what the effects are of this happening. We are number one, strengthening our position militarily in a few of these areas, which produces a reaction amongst the local governments there. For instance, the communist well, openly communist leader of Belarus is extremely displeased with the new U.S. military presence in his neighboring country that is being planned here, and that is continually openly claiming that the U.S. is attempting to overthrow him. He was recently reelected. This is President Alexander Lukashenko.
But, of course, that wasn't really a very, very fair election in Belarus, was it?
It was not. It was a communist rigged vote.
And it's just this is typical democracy. This is the way democracy really works. You rig the election, you get the people in that you want to. That's what we did in South Africa. 40 million voters, 80 million votes printed up. Long before they even counted the votes, we announced that Nelson Mandela was going to be the next president. That's how democracy really works. It's sort of like, in Ohio, where they had electronic voting, and in one precinct they had 800 registered voters and 400 votes for George Bush. And when people said, "See, how could you have 800 registered voters and 400 votes for George Bush?" and they said, "Well, the machine had a hiccup," and everybody just shrugged and said, "Oh, well, I guess it had a hiccup." They rig elections. They rig elections in Belarus. They rig elections in Ukraine. They rig elections in Russia. They rig elections right here in America. They call that democracy. And yet, of course, we're a republic where we limit the power of government. It wouldn't do any good to rig the elections because there wouldn't be any power there if you did control everything.
That's right. It takes a great deal more effort on the part of the globalists to affect things here in a constitutionally limited form of government, which was what was set up originally here in the Americas, than elsewhere, by controlling just a few of the major players, they can control almost all aspects of the government. Here, they have to spend years and years to infiltrate hundreds of organizations and people just to get a fair amount of effect and control over things. And yet, I believe that our republic has been compromised to a great degree here. And I'd like to get to that, but just let me wrap up what I think the effects of these expanded military bases are around the world. The overall effects was, one, to antagonize people. People are getting nervous everywhere, and it is causing ill will among most of the areas where we established these bases. Especially the base that opened up or is being planned and being constructed in Paraguay, which is, of course, adding plenty of fuel to Venezuela and other anti-U.S. presidents' fires against the U.S.
We already have military troops in Paraguay, don't we?
Correct. That's right.
And Hugo Chavez is saying the Americans want to build this this military base in Paraguay because they are going to attack Venezuela. And, of course, he's rallying all the people behind him because of the fear of America attacking him.
That's right. And it seems to be a very real thing. I mean, President Chavez can actually point at this base, and there are real military troops there. And they are U.S., and so it seems to add a lot of credibility to what are otherwise just rantings.
And, of course, now he is, of course, buying a tremendous amount of arms and giving it to the peasants there to protect the country from the Yankee imperialism. So, we're doing everything we can to justify what he's saying. And why would you do something that stupid unintentionally?
That's right. And I say that it is intentional. The other item of interest to note is that most of the military bases are strategically located to be able to control world supply of oil, especially our recent bases in India and Pakistan that control oil coming out of China, and of course the many military bases in the Middle East and especially Iraq control a great source of oil there. And I think that is a second prong of the agenda of the globalists.
All right, hang on. We'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Skousen right here at Radio Liberty. All right. right, Dr. Stan. Andrew was saying he thinks there's two reasons that we have the military bases. One is, of course, to antagonize the people throughout the world. The other is to control the choke points so we can control the flow of oil. Go ahead, Andrew.
All right. Now, I hesitate to draw too much attention to the oil fact because this is something that seems a little too obvious to most people. Many of the standard hacks, the liberals, etc., in news and radio elsewhere tend to point to oil as being the sole reason that we have gone to war with Iraq. And I think that people tend to miss over the more important, in our opinion, finer points of this creating conflict and the consequent antagonism, and how that drives people towards change. I think people fail to realize just how important it is to the globalists to be able to use this engine of conflict, this Hegelian tactic of creating conflicts, to be able to move people out of their comfort zones, and thus create venues for them to channel people into the directions that they want them to go. People are historically incredibly inert about things, and it can be difficult to get people to move and to change and to give up their liberties and to move down the roads of socialism and communism unless you can create unrest and make people uncomfortable and make them want to see changes happen. And that is one of the insidious things about the globalist agenda, is that it is creating conflicts, especially in Iraq and these places, with terrorist attacks as well, is causing legislation like the Patriot Act that would never be able to get passed before, because people would just balk at any change that they didn't see as necessary. And by creating these conflicts and this antagonism and this friction between people, it gives the politicians a reason to come up with these terrible laws that they concoct and be able to get them pushed through and passed by the American people.
And I really think that's so true. The American people would ordinarily be furious with the idea that the administration was going to tap anybody's phone that they want to. Now, but because of the threat of the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave in Pakistan, or at least that's what we're told, why we've got to take away the freedom of the American people, because, believe me, they're not simply tapping overseas telephone. They've been tapping every telephone call in the United States and every email, in fact, you know, for several decades through the Echelon Project. And you go up on the internet and look up Echelon and find out how they've done it, and they're simply lying. But what they're doing is they're using the threat of terrorism to justify what they've been doing for such a long period of time. The American people would never have accepted torture as an acceptable thing, but now, of course, we have to torture others to protect ourselves. And any people who will support a regime that advocates torture of helpless people, those people have lost their sense of fear of God. And believe me, God is going to bring a terrible judgment on this country because the leaders, the religious leaders of this country, have refused to take a stand against a regime that endorses torture, that supports torture, and is tortures people to death. And this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and you pick up the story there, Andrew.
All right, well, let's take this a step further now. We've been talking about how governments create conflicts and use those conflicts to be able to move people out of their comfort zones, to be able to give up freedoms and get people moved in the directions that they want them to. Now take a step back and look a little bit at how things are being presented here. People, even when they do get moved towards these things, are often dislike it. And consequently, it is very important for this the inherent distrust and hatred and dislike of government that does build up, even though people see it as a necessary evil, they still see it as bad. The globalists have been extremely adept at channeling this in certain directions. And this, I believe, is the reason why George Bush is our president now. If you look at George Bush, he is labeled as a Republican, labeled as a conservative, is extremely disliked by people across the ocean in other countries, and increasingly in our own country, because he is poorly spoken. He doesn't present a nice as strong of an image. He comes across as a weak person, as a poorly prepared person. He has kind of a Texas drawl, and comes across as kind of a redneck president. And all of the images of the U.S., he is the poster boy.
But I think the other thing is, Andrew, he is put forward as a Christian. He is a representative of what Christianity is all about. And if you look at George Bush, and of course you see some of the obscene gestures he's given that they've caught on television, and you hear some of the obscene remarks he's made off the record, and then we see what he's done in authorizing a torture, does that really the image that we want of Christianity? Or is he going to end up discrediting Christianity in America and throughout the world? And I will tell you, if I wasn't already an evangelical Christian who had a personal relationship with our Lord, and I saw George Bush as an example of what Christianity is about, I don't think I'd be very interested in Christianity.
Precisely. And that goes for all of the ideals that he supposedly represents, which includes conservatism, republicanism, self-defense, democracy, all of the above things. People turn towards all of this as hatred, and he is giving all of it a bad name. And yet, the only way that they can do this to get what the globalists want done, and yet still direct all of the dislike and hatred towards something that they want it pointed towards, is to have something from that camp as the figurehead while they are doing it. And I think this is one of the things that people don't realize how bad Bush is. This is why we at the World Affairs Brief actually wanted to have a Democrat in as president, because a Republican gets more evil done as president than a Democrat ever could. Not only does he continue with the globalist agenda, and if you look back at all of the presidents in the past, both Republican and Democrat, they have all continued with the same globalist agenda. This president paints all of our ideals in a poor light, and all of the Republicans go along with him blindly, thinking that this is one of us, that this is one of our men. And it's very insidious, and it's creating a great deal of hatred towards almost all of the right ideals that people like you and I have been trying to promote.
You're absolutely right. Of course, everybody knows that George Bush is pro-life, but after 5 years in the White House, Roe versus Wade is still there. The partial birth abortion bill, which he signed, making very, very sure there is no restriction on it to the courts so they couldn't act, which, of course, would have been a very simple thing to have done. Partial birth abortion can still continue in America. He talks about family values, appoints homosexuals to key positions in the Defense Department and all throughout his administration. He says talks about cutting government spending and has given the largest tax increases in our nation's history. He talks about a balanced budget, and we're going to have it balanced by the year 2011. My goodness, we had far more conservative administration under Bill Clinton than we ever had under George W. Bush. And we'll be back here in just a moment. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Andrew was just saying that actually we were far better off with a Democrat in the White House. We knew they were pro-choice. George Bush is pro-choice, but he says he's pro-life, and we applaud him and we support him because, after all, he says what we believe. But don't take any account of what he says. What has he done to stop abortion in the United States? They'll tell you he took money away from one United Nations organization that was supporting abortion, and that's true. And he gave it to another United Nations organization that was supporting abortion, but they never told you that. And, of course, we're still spending as much money as we ever were on international population control, which is simply another, or international family planning, which is another word for international population control. But I think George Bush, by the time he gets out of the White House, he'll have a hard time electing a Republican dog catcher in office. Pick up the story there, Andrew.
You know, that's a very interesting point, Dr. Stan. We go back and forth about what the future is going to be like for the Republican Party and how much influence they're going to have. And quite honestly, seeing at how well they are doing at creating antagonism for these ideals that we were talking about before, by having a Republican in office, we have a feeling that it's possible that they may just try to continue to have Republicans in office. And although it may not be possible the next time around, or even the time after that, I think by the time World War III happens, I think that they want the Republican in office at that time. It's going to be quite devastating for whichever party is in office at that time to have all of the hidden effects of all of our worldwide antagonism finally erupt into a full-on war against us, that people are going to be very unhappy with the current administration. And I think that they want to have a Republican in office when that happens. As to what's going to happen next time, it's anyone's guess. I'm not really prepared right now, but we've had a couple of discussions here at the World Affairs Brief, and one idea that's been put forward is that they will run a very liberal person as a Democrat, perhaps somebody like Hillary Clinton, and then allow her to be defeated by a very charismatic Republican globalist again.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Andrew Skousen, and certainly before we go on, I want Andrew to get his telephone number and his website out so that you can get in touch with the World Affairs Brief. And if you don't actually subscribe to it and get the regularly weekly publication that Joel Skousen puts out, why you're missing something. Joel does an excellent job of summarizing the key events that are going on. And incidentally, if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But Andrew, let's get your website and your telephone number out so people will know how they can get in touch with you. And of course, subscribe to the World Affairs Brief.
All right. I think that the best way for people to contact us is by going online to our website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. That's www.worldaffairsbrief.com, one word. And there they can find the daily stories that we post that we think are the most important from all of the news sources that we continue to track around the Internet. And they can find links on there to be able to sign up for the weekly World Affairs Brief, which is a summary and an analysis of the news, principally written by my father, Joel Skousen, who has been trying to pick apart and track what the globalists have been attempting to do over the past years, and he tries to pick up where the forest is from all of the trees, and you can find links for that on our website. For those who don't have access to the Internet, you can order a free copy of the brief sent to you by mail, and you can get that by calling toll-free 877-518-5888. That's toll-free 1-877-518-5888.
All right, fine. Thank you. Well, let's pick up the story there. Of course, you were talking about how that we're doing everything we can to antagonize the rest of the world. And, of course, you feel that this is a leading up to a World War III. And I certainly agree with you. I think it's only a matter of time. Everybody in the world is arming. The Russians are developing all sorts of new intercontinental ballistic missiles and new missile-carrying submarines that can carry intercontinental ballistic missiles. China is developing all sorts of intercontinental ballistic missiles, and America is unilaterally disarming. We've done away with our MX, so-called peacekeeper missiles. We spend hundreds of billions of dollars. We've simply taken them all out of action. And, of course, we're cutting back progressively on our military. And none of this makes sense that the Bill Clinton announced that if we were attacked, if there was a nuclear attack coming out on America, we would not retaliate until we had absorbed the full strike. Well, of course, they're going to strike at our military reprisal, and so we won't have much to make reprisals with. We have no anti-ballistic missile system. We have six anti-ballistic missile and those six missiles are aligned against thousands and thousands of intercontinental ballistic missiles that will be coming in. Why have we refused to build an anti-ballistic missile system? We had an effective one in the 70s, but we can't figure out how to build one today. In the 1970s, why we had explosive warheads. We had small nuclear warheads that would simply explode in the proximity to an incoming missile and take it out. That's what the Russians have on there. Thousands of anti-ballistic missiles. The Russians have an effective anti-ballistic missile system, but, oh, shucks, we can't build one here in the United States today. None of this makes sense unless you understand that our leaders are doing everything they can not to prepare for nuclear war. Their medicines would protect civilians, you know, against the effects of radiation illness and save literally millions of lives when the attack comes. And the administration refuses to buy that. Those products, they're investing in some sort of a vaccine for anthrax, which has done nothing but create havoc in our own military. And that's where they're putting the billions of dollars, but nothing to protect us from a nuclear war. And none of this makes sense unless there's another agenda. Pick up the story there, Andrew.
Exactly. And the other agenda is that in the coming war, they don't want America to win. They actually want America to lose. And what they want it to lose is its sovereignty. Americans will never give up their sovereignty. If you look even at all of the effect that the government is getting out of the phony call to patriotism that they are eliciting among people with all of the support your troop stickers on cars, etc. In truth, it underlies a fiber among all Americans, which is that we are all proud to be part of this nation, and we will never give up our sovereignty unless our entire nation is brought to its knees militarily by a great onslaught of the rest of the world, responding to this antagonism that we have been eliciting for the past, tens of years and decades.
And of course, the thing is that our leaders are globalists. They do not believe in our sovereignty. They want to merge us with the rest of the world. And that's why they refuse to guard our borders. And that's why they refuse to enforce our immigration laws. And, of course, I think you're absolutely right. I believe we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. And what do you think all these people who are here illegally are going to do when there are no jobs, when there's no food? They're going to be riot. There's going to be chaos in America. And the only solution will be a military dictatorship. But what better way to justify it than, after all, we're from the government, and if we can't restore order, things are going to be chaotic. They have created the situation that will lead to the chaos, and then, of course, they're already preparing the chains for the American people.
Right, and not just a military dictatorship in the U.S., but a worldwide military dictatorship, a global form of government. When the U.S. military gets brought to its knees, all of the citizens of America will be enticed and encouraged to cry out for help from the world government, which will be given all of the arms of all of the surviving free nations. I think that there are a lot of black budget military projects here in the U.S. that will emerge from the underground after the initial waves of the attacks, but they won't be used to gain back our sovereignty. They will be used to eventually win the war for the world government under the umbrella of the New World Order, and bring all of the nations together to fight the new axis of evil, and we believe eventually conquer it, but by doing so, setting up a different form of government, which will require all of the countries that are part of it to give up all of their sovereignty under the name and the guise of peace. We've seen this happen after every major world war. They tried to do it after World War I with the League of Nations. They tried to institute it after World War II, and with the UN, which is still going on. But all of these wars were minor in comparison to this final war, which will be the war to end all wars, and ending in the final global domination of an evil system of government, which I think Christians are familiar with prophecies.
Amen to that, and I certainly agree with you what you're saying. So anyway, of course, I think it's so important that our listeners begin to put things into a spiritual perspective and understand our leaders have no loyalty to America. And that's why they're going to make, and they're passing legislation this week that will allow many of the people who are here illegally now to become, in one way or another, legal workers or temporary workers or something. But they intend to give them all their citizenship. And the administration, the Bush administration, is leading this whole charge to destroy the very fabric of our society. And nobody has the courage to speak out and tell you the truth.
That's right, and this, I think, underlines one of the key points or evidences that President Bush is in truth not a true Republican and conservative.
He's a globalist. He's dedicated to globalism, but then so is John Kerry. And they
That's
never
right.
give the suckers an even chance.
Right, and their true colors come out with these programs that they advocate. This guest worker program has no support under true conservatives. In fact, it is generating more antagonism from Republicans and from center of the road conservatives about this. So it makes no sense as to why Bush under his supposed Republican ideals would advocate this program, which is basically, in a nutshell, amnesty for all of the illegal aliens who are currently in this country, and all of the ones who will try and enter this country once the plan becomes in effect, which is basically to give all of the illegal aliens or residents here worker card, which will allow them to be here legally, working, have driver's license, carry out everything, get benefits and Medicare support and welfare support from the government, and basically give them amnesty here, and thus create that conflict, that ethnic conflict, and the cultural conflict there that will create more and more of an outcry for government to stop and change things. And that's what continues to happen. And that is Bush's true color there, is that he is advancing these same programs that the Democratic
Party was advocating. In fact, he's passed a lot of Ted Kennedy's legislation. Ted Kennedy wanted the new education bill. He couldn't get it through. George Bush got it through for him. Right. Ted Kennedy wanted the Medicare drug bill. He couldn't get it through. Why, George Bush got it through for him. And in the year 2003, the Bush Foundation, now, which, of course, has both George Herbert Walker and George Bush as members of the board of directors, awarded the award for the finest and most outstanding legislator to none other than Ted Kennedy. So if you really think there's a dime's worth of difference between the Republican leadership and the Democrat leadership, you've been listening to Rush Limbaugh too long. Go ahead there.
That's exactly right. The point that I want to bring up now is that this pulling the wool over the public's eyes about who and what Bush really is could not happen without a lot of collusion from the media. And this is evident in that it doesn't matter which party is in power, like you said, the establishment media always supports those actions of the government that are part of the globalist agenda. We see this with the way that they present topics, with how much of a fervor they develop about certain topics, with how much they downplay certain topics, and with how much drumming of support that they produce. The media can be extremely manipulative and still appear to be unbiased because of just of those two things: how much truth they actually say and how much emphasis they put on that truth. I think that the Bush administration helps them out significantly by couching their actions and hiding their actions under the guise of national security without being able to talk about things that would otherwise undermine their actions using those two excuses. And the other point is how is government more and more is the source of all of these news stories, and thus together with the media, who refuses to ask as the more important behind the scenes questions and to bring up the contradictions with things, plays along with these stories that are constantly fed to them by the Bush administration to produce this overall effect of the media supporting the whole globalist agenda.
And of course, the other thing is, of course, that the people who own the media, not necessarily reporters, but the people who own the media, all tie into the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers. And they have their meetings, and of course, they're never reported. And the average American has no idea that the purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations is to destroy the sovereignty of our country. And the Council on Foreign Relations is a front for a secret society that was created by Cecil Rhodes back in 1891. That's all covered in Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And now, of course, we see the president of the CFR, Richard Haass, giving interviews all the time, and they mention he's from the CFR, but they will never tell you that this is a treasonous organization dedicated to the destruction of America and a front for a secret society. I bet you won't hear that on the controlled media.
That's absolutely right.
All right, fine. Well, now, what's the next point you'd like to make, Andrew?
I would like to bring up a recent story that was actually brought up by an old leftist reporter of Robert Fisk, and he came up with a very interesting point about the media and their faulty stories that they are produced, and I think it's very telling about the current atmosphere of news that is being recorded. He quotes or talks about a story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times. Times that talked about the Iraqi insurgency mastermind. What's his name?
Abu Zarqawi.
Zarqawi, right, exactly. And he talks about how all of the information in the story comes from U.S. authorities. He says that on pages 1 through 10 of this story, spun by reporters Josh Meyer and Mark Mazzetti, he says that these are the sources. Quote, U.S. officials said, is the first story. Said one U.S. Justice Department counterterrorism official is another source. Official said, another source. Those officials said. The officials confirmed. American officials complained. The U.S. officials stressed. U.S. authorities believe. Said one senior U.S. intelligence official. And on and on.
Hey, we're out of it. We're out of time. Hang on, we'll be right back in just a minute.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Sidney Andrew Skousen, and we're talking about really what's going on, and how really the media really is not telling the truth. And you will see these. This is an old leftist commenting on a report in the Los Angeles Times, where they're simply going to government sources. They're not doing any reporting. They are getting exactly what the government wants the reporters to write. Because government officials are not going to give any information to the reporters other than what they're supposed to know. And if a government official really leaked information, he would, of course, stand to go to prison for doing that. And so when you get these reports that said an official said or a high-ranking official said, or you understand that's government propaganda, not to reveal but to conceal the truth about what's really going on. Would that be a fair statement?
It would, and moreover, I would say that almost all, if not all, of the information that we have so far about terrorism and Al-Qaeda, etc., all comes from these sources. We have no independent sources about terrorism and about Al-Qaeda and this war and all of the justification for going to in Iraq and Afghanistan have all come from these same sources. And yet we cannot trust them. Look at their history. We haven't found the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We haven't found the connections between Saddam and the 9/11 occurrences. We haven't found most of the connections that are continually brought up and put forward by the U.S. officials, and yet every time a story comes up that says a U.S. official, all of the citizens in America relax and say, all right, this is a trustworthy story. It makes no sense, and yet just because the major media outlets are always using it, it gains credibility over and over again.
And because we plant articles in our news medium, they bring people out, they argue about the wrong issues, they make a big issue about Libby and, of course, leaking information. This is all showbiz, ladies and gentlemen, to draw our attention away from the really important things. We're just about out of time. Andrew, what's your parting thought?
My parting thought is that people need to take an extra glance at the news and, above all, to search out other sources of the news to be able to get a real picture of what's going on in the world.
And, of course, the best place to get that would be the World Affairs Brief, and you can go there every morning as I do. That's www.worldaffairsbrief. Our guest has been Andrew Skousen. Andrew, thanks for being with us again.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Good night, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've covered a lot of things this evening, but I hope you've enjoyed this, and I hope you're getting a grasp of the concern that Joel and his son, Andrew, have about the coming Third World War. And I believe it's coming. I think it's only a matter of time. And then, of course, if you look at it from a spiritual point of view, I mean, is there any reason why God should bless America? Is there any reason why God should protect America from destruction? Certainly, as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty, but can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And this is where we are today, ladies and gentlemen, And the great tragedy is the average individual has no idea what's really going on today. Either we're on the brink of disaster and the destruction of everything that has made a life worth living. But of course, if we're not willing to stand for right, what right do we have to live in this wonderful land and to enjoy the freedoms we have? So we do hope that many of you out there will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out 5 hours every day by radio and internet, and 4 hours on shortwave, and 9 hours on the satellite, and you get us 9 hours a day on Telstar 5. If you want more information, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We do hope that many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We do hope that many of you will seriously consider getting a case of my books, Brotherhood of Darkness, and if you'd like to know more about that, and of course this is really an unbelievable opportunity, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask about getting a case of Brotherhood of Darkness. We can only make this offer to you because we're going to be doing another major printing, and we still have a few more cases before we actually close the offer, and then we start printing, and then we won't make it again. But oh, what a wonderful opportunity to have a vehicle of reaching people with the truth. Had a call from a woman just today who just read the book. She actually was from South Africa. And how it helped her to connect all the things she knew were going on, but just couldn't make sense of it. So if you'd like to think about either getting a single copy of the book, or the video or the audio tape, or getting a case of them, which I think you'd find a very attractive opportunity, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, our last newsletter goes into the war on terrorism. Are we really involved in a war on terrorism? Or are they using the threat of terrorism to take away our freedom? Well, I think if you read this newsletter, why, it will clarify the issue for you. That's the February newsletter. If you'd like a copy, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will want to get the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, which tells you about the secret societies that created the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid cap by the all-seeing eye. And then, of course, we hope many of you want to get my talk on the World Revolution. And we have a new 4-tape set on Financial Armageddon. And we'll have more new tape sets coming up very, very soon. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until we're together again, this is Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.